The pianist Pavel Kolesnikov, one of the current lineup of Radio 3 New Generation artists, there in a Russian hunt, September, from Tchaikovsky's piano collection, The Seasons. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 10 o'clock. And now Drama on 3. Earlier this year, this evening's Drama on 3 was named Best Play in both the Olivier and Critics Circle Awards. King Charles III is introduced by writer Mike Bartlett, and it begins with a requiem to Queen Elizabeth II. The play contains some strong language.
It was a bit of a strange idea for a play. I'd always been interested in the royal family, and there's something about the royal family that's always interested dramatists, because you get to talk about a person at the same time as talking about the country. And so this idea arrived that I found Charles fascinating. I was interested in the idea of what was going to happen when Charles became king. He couldn't be like his mother. He would have to be something different. And on previous form, he was not going to be silent. The form that arrived was, well, what if he was a Shakespearean tragic hero? And what if, instead of doing that as parody, I just take the problems they have seriously? I take the problems of state, the problems of being a king, and then, as the play grew, the problems of being a prince or the problems of being the wife of a prince, and take all of those problems absolutely sincerely and seriously and explore them. I always find that a play arrives at a place that is a contradiction for me. And on one hand, I believe in democracy, I don't like privilege, and so I should absolutely believe in the abolition of the royal family. However, I was brought up in a family that believed that to be proud of the royal family was also to be proud of your country, an Anglican tradition, and one that actually has an affection for the royal family, almost like our own family. And so although my mind is saying we should get rid of them, my heart is actually has a real affection for them. And the play in some way is me trying to explore the route through that and to say, does the royal family have a role to play in today's society beyond the iconic or the ritualistic or the cultural and into the world of politics and governance? In the play, Charles does at times turn to us and we understand his sincere thought process. He thinks deeply about things. And I suspect that his desire to become involved, however problematic that is in all sorts of ways, comes from a very genuine place of wanting to make a difference. In a way, that's the play's starting point. What happens when it's more than just a spider letter to the government, and he is the king, and he uses his constitutional power to change the law?
King Charles III by Mike Bartlett, an Almeida Theatre production, co-produced with Sonia Friedman Productions and Stuart Thompson Productions, adapted for radio by Mike Bartlett and directed by Rupert Gould.
Stay. My wondrous Charles, you looked composed throughout. You did her proud, for as she would have liked, you never showed your pain, but stood instead a virtuous man of dignity and grace, immovable, inscrutable as stone.
Please don't. It's simply what I had to do. We'll find no dignity in covering up the way we feel. What son should, standing, waiting at his mother's grave, stop his tears?
Are you all right?
Well, my whole existence has, like most of us, been built upon the ones who gave me birth. And now they're gone. That's it. First Dad, now Mum. The only truth. I am alone.
Except for me.
It's not the same, Camilla. The love with us, it's all my life, but never can replace parental word. A mother's hand to hold, but here the others, back to statue. It's Catherine and William. Hello. You're radiant, despite the grave restrictions of the morning dress. It is your gift, my dear. It's what you brought to us. A sense of fashion. Better hair as well.
I never thought I'd see her pass away.
I felt the same.
How are you, Dad? Must be hard to deal with loss combined with gain, for soon at last you will be king.
Not soon.
3 months.
Your father rules today.
I thought the coronation marked the change.
Well, you're right. Officially, that is the case.
But England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, they cannot stand without a king or queen for all the months it takes to organise a coronation.
Wales.
Wales what?
Wales too. You missed it out.
Then Wales as well. And Wales.
Oh, but surely constitutionally speaking...
Oh, sweet, my dear. We have no constitution. Instead, tradition holds us to account.
Tradition, then, it's...
Tradition
still...
holds that on the death of kings or queens, the next is monarch straight away. He needs no proclamation, needs no man to shout, the queen is dead, long live the king. Your father ruled the moment Granny passed.
So coronation day itself is just the ancient costumes worn and lines to learn, a slice of theatre that's played for fun.
Not fun, I think, for me. I hate those things.
Harry, it's such a joy to have you home, even in such morbid circumstance as this.
I might head off, if that's okay. Look, I know there's this thing, but I'm tired.
You want to go? Well, of course, we'll say you're ill if there's...
Well, yeah, right, that's it. I don't feel well, yeah.
Why? What's the matter?
Headache. But that was all good, wasn't it? It went okay from what I could see.
Do you really have to go?
It's not... I mean, the whole... Look, I've only been back a few days. I can't deal with all the chat, the people. It's... Such a change from being out there.
It's important, Harry.
Yeah, but the headache, though?
We should leave and mingle with the crowds. A single round should be sufficient. Then we're at the palace, yes?
That's right.
But where's the children?
Well, taken now to Kensington. They needed sleep.
George didn't cry.
He what?
I thought he would, a child like that. But something in him understood, and so he watched and listened, and like all of us... He kept his real emotions to himself. In public, William, you were the same. For as a babe, so silent in the cot, we worried you might quietly have died.
It's the same with George. It's parents' paranoia.
Of course, that's true. The ever-constant fear that one might somehow lose one's son.
But, Dad, you're shaken up. Perhaps we should take time to talk.
I'm sorry. It must wait. James wants us now.
Charles... James will happily do whatever you command. You can spend time with William.
We'll see you later on.
All right.
Just Mr. Evans waiting now to speak before you walk together from the door. I'm afraid the press are kettled up and staying all this time. Expect their shot.
A moment, please, alone, before it starts. Camilla, you as well. I'm sorry, but you understand.
Mm-hmm. I do.
At last, I needed room for thought, to breathe. In every second since my mother passed, I'm trapped by meetings. All these people ask me questions, talking, fussing, what to do, expect I'll have opinion there, all good to go, like Findus ready meals for one, pre-wrapped and frozen. This is what I think, as if I know. My better thoughts, they start from scratch, slow cooked and brewed with time. My life has been a lingering for the throne. Sometimes, I do confess, I imagined if my mother happed to die before her time, a helicopter crash, a rare disease. So at an early age, I'd be in charge. Before me, years of constant, stable rule. But usually I've hoped she'd keep in health, that since for most, outrageous dreams and hopes are all they'll ever have, and yet their life is full. So I am better thoughtful prince than king. And potential holds appeal, since in its castle walls one is protected from the awful shame of failure.
Your Majesty, the Prime Minister's here.
Bring him in. No more. Exactly as Camilla said, although the crown has yet to sit upon my head and burden me with gold, I am the king default and will ascend.
Your Majesty.
Prime Minister.
Sincere condolences upon your loss.
A loss, I think, that all her subjects share.
Of course. We miss our queen. But you will feel a sharper pain, I'm sure. You felt she would have liked the service?
I trust she would, for planned it was by her.
I hope you heard the people outside cheer.
When? No, a cheer? A cheer for what?
Towards the end, from through the doors and walls, we heard hip hip, and all at once there came hooray, and then three times repeated same. And although perhaps the tone was wrong, at least it showed they cared and loved the Queen.
No, I didn't hear. My mind must have been somewhere else.
Your Majesty, Mr. Evans, the press await.
We'll talk some more across the weeks to come.
We will indeed.
But now you must excuse me, for I have to walk from here and face the baying mob.
Your Majesty may not recall, but we did decide for public reassurance you would leave with Mr. Evans at your side. The Crown and State, Prime Minister and King.
We did agree.
Indeed.
You're right.
Just so.
You're right. I didn't recall. And now we're here, I feel instead I should remain aloft from politics and walk with royals alone. I'm sure Prime Minister will understand.
Of course. I'll go right now and clear the way.
Such equal billing was a joy when Prince, to share the stage, did spread attention out. But now I'll rise to how things have to be. The Queen is dead. Long live the King. That's me.
I completely understand you must respect a serious period of mourning and all that boo-hoo, but you deserve a classic night out. Here's something to cheer you up. Recommendation from a father. Import from Eastern Europe. It's black, that's all we know.
Hello, bitches! Wagwan!
Speak English, could say?
What's all that?
Don't know what you mean.
Feel like you're raped by Primark.
Undercover, mate?
What? Student night, you cross. Could have gone what I normally wear, wouldn't have known what hit them. Ergo.
Dressed up.
Yeah, why were you at a student night?
To get your surprise.
No. She's a lovely girl. Very,
distinctive.
Asked if she wanted to meet you. She was keen, so I brought her back. Well, now you're home, I thought you might want to, you know,
Cootsie.
Do a pleb.
Yeah.
Nor the prom.
No. Not in the mood.
Approach a subject from a different angle.
Well, where is she?
In the toilet. Make yourself look presentable. Well, best she can. Her name's Jess.
What's she like?
Don't know, mate. I can't get past the voice.
Hello.
Jess, here, Carl.
Not joking, then.
What?
Here he is. Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Is Charles really your dad?
What?
Or was it the other one?
The other one?
Yeah, what's his name?
But no.
Hewlett.
Hewitt.
Her butler or whatever.
Not the butler.
Yeah, the butler didn't do it.
Because you're very ginger. I don't think that's a bad thing, but seriously, if you haven't had a test done yet, you really should. Because if Hewlett was your dad instead, you'd be out of the family.
What?
Free of it.
Why would I want to be free of it?
Because you hate it. Don't you?
No.
He really doesn't.
Yeah, you do. He does. All this dressing up, getting repped, it's because you're part of this big thing, but you don't get anything back. You'll just be the drunken uncle, get married a few times, always pissed. A trap for you, isn't it?
That's what you think?
Yeah.
So what should I do then?
What?
What should I do instead?
You really want to know?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably time you tapped out now, darling. Go on, off you pop. We've seen girls like you before. Won't be long till the camera thing comes out.
Cootie, Spencer, someone wants you at the bar.
Are you telling us to jog on, mate?
Yes, I am.
Do you realise she's probably a socialist or something?
No, all right. Come on, not wanted.
Yeah, Harry, word of warning. Yeah, she's just a bit of fun. That's all she's supposed to be. Right. Pop and stop, yeah? Drive through!
Come on, Cootie.
Your mates are idiots.
they're loyal.
There's something a bit sweet about you, isn't there?
Yeah, that's what people say.
You come across really badly on TV, but in person, you're shy.
So, are you going to answer my question?
What should you do instead? Come on.
Where are we going?
Prince Harry. You have no idea.
Hey!
Come on!
Wait, Jess! Wait!
I'm coming!
Shall I be mother?
Thank you. Yes, that's kind.
Prime Minister, so, how shall we begin?
Well, oft I run through current legislation, or international matters sometimes might take precedence. But here today, I thought we might commence by talking of a bill about to land upon your desk that seeks the royal approval.
Yes, what bill do you mean?
To limit future growth and mass expanse of runways. What environmental checks there are have long been out of date.
You must excuse me. Much as this wants our attention, I had assumed we'd start with something else.
Of course. Whichever subject you would like.
Your bill concerning privacy, which sets restriction on the freedom of the press. I understand it's passed the House and soon will be the British law. Is that correct?
That is correct. The regulation of the press, we feel, is overdue, and although we would prefer them in an ideal world to keep the House in order by themselves, this has been tried so many times and each time failed.
I've read the bill.
You have? Well, good. What else is there to say? The bill has wide support across the House, both Commons and the Lords, and will today arrive with you for signature to enter into law.
You like this bill?
I absolutely do. For we have seen, and you yourself must know too well, the lasting wounds the press inflict. We cannot risk another murder case where phones belonging to the dead are hacked. It cannot be a right or civilised country in which in any private place, a toilet, bedroom, might there be concealed a tiny camera. Then these photos splayed as front page news, the consequences thrown around the world and everlasting, so that without a jury, judge or evidence, a punishment is meted out. A life is ruined. Reputation murdered.
You do not think a principle is here at stake, that something vital to our sense of freedom, both as individuals and country whole, is being risked?
Your Majesty, of course I understand that view and have myself considered where the balance lay, but both within the House of Commons and in every poll conducted across the land, there is opinion something must be done. The law is what your people want.
They want the leaders they elected standing up and making choices they themselves cannot, because they have not time. They pay their taxes well, so we, or you, may take the time to study hard and make the right decision on the day.
I know, I have, and this is what we think. I have to say, it does surprise that with the great intrusion they've made into your life, you'd have them left untouched like this. What of the pack of wolves that mercilessly did hunt to death your late and much-missed wife?
That's bold, so soon in our relationship.
What's bold?
To utilise Diana.
I'm sorry. But in fact, it's rare to have to justify the passing of a law like this. I would have thought of all the victims, you'd feel the strongest something must be done.
As a man, a father, a husband, yes, I do. But that's not who we are when sat with you in here. Not just am I defender of the faith, but in addition I protect this country's unique force and way of life. We are not strong for manufacturing. Politically, our sway and influence are in decline. But still we demonstrate the way a just society should work. Judiciary, democracy and more. A low corruption rate. All those who hold the strings held to account themselves, in turn.
Your Majesty. Thanks. I understand and say I will, if opportunity transpires, make sure I take your views into account. Perhaps we should move on to other things.
It is the law on privacy that holds concern, and so I ask you, tell me what, as my Prime Minister, you do intend.
The law is made and passed. It is too late.
My views to you mean nothing, then.
Your views mean much, but on this subject, yes. I disagree with what you think, and if you want my true intent, I will say more. That even if there was a chance to change the bill to take account of what you think, I would not see it done. The public vote to choose the members of their parliament, and that's where the decisions will be made, not in this room between the two of us. But, sir, now please, it matters not, for the law is drawn and voted on and passed.
Then our weekly meeting's done.
Your Majesty...
And thank you, Mr. Evans. Though we don't agree, it has been most informative.
I do apologise if I've caused offence. I simply wanted to explain my view.
And so you have. We'll meet next week. If you could send him in...
Then I should leave.
I think you'll know my next appointment well. Ah, Mr. Stevens, here. You recognise my guest.
I'd not expected Mr. Evans.
I reasoned thus. In case there did arise an accusation that my vision here of left and right was being tilted out of proper balance, only meeting one, I will from now make sure each week I have the usual half an hour with my good Prime Minister, but then give equal time for Leader of the Opposition, too. How does this sound?
Your mother never felt the need, but if it is your wish, then good. You must. Well, I should leave so you can gather up opposing views from that I've tried to give.
Forgive me, sir, but I am rather shocked by sarcasm I would have thought did not have place in royal conversation such as this. He seemed to be, well, quite annoyed.
He is a man of principle. I hope he will, in time, see how a conversation between the two of us cannot threaten him, but merely gives perspective. For instance, he believes we need this bill to safeguard privacy. I'm not so sure. Your party voted against it, am I right?
We did indeed. We felt as writ it was restrictive to our freedom of the press.
And this, your vote was no way influenced by other factors, need for good PR.
No.
Or donors to your cause or party funds.
That's not...
I have it with authority. You are good friends with editors and have, on numerous occasions, had them round to tea.
The cut and thrust of public life, you know.
No, the briefing paper that I had, it said at Christmas Eve you gifted one of them a horse.
Now look, that's lies, not true. It was a pony for her daughter who, when our two families met at lunch one day, expressed a want for such a beast, and so, when thinking what to get them, come no
else. Despite all that, your group of friends is not why you were keen to stop the current law. Instead, it was on principle.
Correct. I do not think it right.
It is too late, and so the first law passed as king will be a law that's dangerous. I always hope. As Crown, I'd have some small but crucial influence upon the state I'd given all my working life to serve. But Mr. Evans does not like me and has made explicit that he will not change a single thing in light of what I say. And if this is the case, then what am I? My mother gained respect for what she'd seen. The Blitz. She sat with Churchill and met all the most important figures of her years. But what am I?
It may not be too late to stop the law.
But Houses, Parliament and Lords have cast their votes, and therefore when I sign the bill...
If you sign the bill. For surely that requirement remains your choice. That is the power you possess.
A ceremonial right, not one to use.
I hate to differ, but I think this strikes the heart of why we have a queen. Or king. They are the check and balance of our land. I've long believed that we could never see a Nazi party making British laws, because the reigning monarch then would stand his ground, and being head of state, refuse to sign. Refuse to let the country lose democracy. And doing so, provoke revolt. Perhaps I am romantic, but I think the signature holds something more.
It's not our place. Would do more harm than good.
Then not important. Write your name in ink and unamended let it into law.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Your Majesty.
I hope that once in place, an instinct here that had been dormant up till now would thrive and override my indecisive mind. But now I'm Majesty and feel the same, a weakling shadow of what went before. But wait, what's that? I need to get some sleep. I thought I saw a shimmering light just in the corner of my eye, a floating thing. Mother? She's gone, and now she has, I'm not quite sure. If she was there at all. I'm certain all she was nerves and ills. I'll call my doctor now for sleeping pills.
Joke. We shouldn't waste the time.
When last we spoke, he seemed disturbed about the passing of this bill.
What do you mean?
I mean, he did not want it law at all.
Prime Minister, the under-butler's here.
And Stevens?
On his way.
You said to him, emergency.
I did indeed.
As soon as he arrived, you send him in.
Of course.
Right then. Hello, I'm Tristan. What's your name?
It's Clive, Your Honour.
Clive? Well, relax. And now, in detail, tell me about this letter brought.
This morning, at 11, when I would on normal days bring coffee. Right. The king did turn and give to me the envelope you have there and said I should, without delay, deliver it to myself to Downing Street. I said that perhaps he might be better sticking to his own long-tested postal system, i.e. Royal Mail. But he was firm and not wanting to rouse the regal ire early in a promising career. I donned my coat and through the rain approached the gates where, there, surrounded by a crowd of tourists all with camera phones, I said my piece that was the truth to the policeman standing wait and not replying. Really all they did was laugh, at which point I displayed the seal in wax upon the letter, and I said it bound the papers tight, as the armorial crest upon their helmet bound them to the king. Well, their laughter stopped, they checked the seal, and then finally did allow me entrance, and I'm glad to see you, with the letter, safely home.
You did not see the contents, then?
When I did hand the letter to your servant here, the seal was quite intact. I haven't read a word.
Well, thank you, Clive. I think that's all we need. You may go back to Buckingham Palace and continue with your under-butlering.
Thank you both. I will.
You're shitting me. This is a fucking dream. It seems you were correct. Our king is mad and taken to communicate with us in methods from the 19th century.
It is a point. He wants us all, but mostly me, to think again upon this bill and then resend or not.
If word got out that he, within a month of sitting on the throne...
Well, before he has, the coronation's not for some time yet.
Right. So, before he's enthroned, or got a crown to call his own, he's chosen to exert this power that his wiser mother never thought to use.
I always hoped that he, above the rest, possessed a mind to understand the world.
You hate the royals, Tristan. You always have.
I hated what they stood for, yes, but hoped that with a king who wanted progress...
Mr. Stevens, sir.
Ah, it's good to see you, Mark, and thanks you came so soon.
Well, I was told emergency.
Please, have a look at this. It came today. Of course, all that we say inside this room is confidential, kept between ourselves.
Of course. I see. And have you spoken to the king?
Not yet. I thought it better if we were, as head of both the largest parties, met in full agreement what response we give. Assuming, as we must, we leave aside the matter of the bill, and instead simply look at what His Majesty intends.
You know I didn't like this bill at all.
I do, but as I say, that's not the point. So, in the conference you had, did he give any hint he might differ like this?
We had a range of conversations that, on touching many subjects, may have glanced the privacy law. But as you know, it must remain discreet between the king and I.
Of course. But did he say that
I left him as I found him, sure that he would sign the bill.
And now that he has refused, what is your stance?
In fact, I do agree. He cannot have the king approving laws depending on his own opinion or the way he feels. Well, what do you intend to do so that we may, without distress or publicly embarrassing our newly minted king, explain to him the simple duty that he must uphold, whatever his own mind?
I thought that as he said he liked a range of views from both sides of the house, we might together go and there persuade him.
Although appreciating any hand outstretched across the aisle, I do believe in such a constitutional issue as this surely is, it is important that while choirs carry passion, but the words are lost in many voices sung at once, so we in politics must all step back and in agreement, believing in just one, entrust our finest soloist to sing. You are, unlike myself, elected sole and only leader of the British Isles. I'm convinced the message will sound best and most authoritative said by you.
And if, once done, he still won't sign, I'd have your full support in standing by this bill.
Of course. We are Conservative in more than party name. Tradition has its place, and here it does protect our right to vote. His Majesty must not object, that's clear.
Good. Then I'll try to see the King today.
That sounds to me a plan, Prime Minister. It is uncharted waters we are thrust towards. But thank you for consulting me in thought. In this, be sure you have my full support.
Leicester Square! Quiz machines, tube platforms.
What's this then? Your gallery?
Wetherspoons, Wagamama. They're full. Just full of people. And your best idea, Don Le Noir. A restaurant where you eat in the pitch darkness. But they thought I was an estate agent. And then your flat with a boiler that doesn't work and no carpet, but everything's yours. You can do what you want. TV, Doritos, curry. I want more, Jess, more of all of that.
No one's stopping you.
Well, a night, yeah, but I can't do this with my life.
Why not?
Because it's not what I was born into.
Then change it. Look at all of this. It's absurd. It still exists. This world you were born into, it's paid for by those people in Wagamama. You take money from their hard work and you spend it on portraits, palaces, and, in your case, flights to Las Vegas. It's not your money to spend.
You're very beautiful.
Don't patronise me.
What?
Listen to what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying and I agree with it. I'm just also saying that you're beautiful as well.
Calm down. My mates, you met last night, they want nothing less than the abolition of the monarchy.
Yeah, I know.
They also said, under no circumstance, was I to get off with you.
Don't then.
Don't worry. I won't. It's been a great night. I hope you've had something to think about. I'll, see you.
Yeah, it's just you really look like you want to kiss me.
Yeah. But I don't.
Oh, excuse me, Your Highness, I'm interrupting.
What? No. No, this is James Carberry Rees.
Cadbury.
Cadbury Rees, the press advisor for the palace. He's worked for my father for 20 years.
30.
30 years? God, I know him really well. This is Jessica.
Pleased to meet you. How do you know the prince?
We met in a club.
Lovely.
Yeah, we haven't been to sleep since 2 days ago. Oh, James, we went to Sainsbury's. You know what Sainsbury's is?
I do.
Yeah, it was the middle of the night and we just shopped for stuff. I got a Scotch egg.
I see. And were your security present to ensure that there was no footage taken?
What?
No,
Miss
James,
it's not
Jessica,
like that.
May I ask what you do for a living?
Student.
Of?
Art.
Art?
Yes. I'm currently exploring Islam's relationship to pornography.
Oh, dear. Harry, how well do you know the young lady?
Really well. Well, we've talked all night about everything. She's brilliant.
What's her surname?
What? Her name's Jess.
Jess what? Highness, your grandmother, the Queen, for over 60 years, has recently passed away. The country is going through a period very few people have experienced before. This is, perhaps, the most unstable moment the royal family will face.
So
perhaps a conversation should be had about timing.
What does that mean?
Highness.
Oh.
Right. That. That there is why I'm not getting off with you.
What?
I've had enough, Harry. I'll see you later.
No, wait. Stay. I want you to stay.
Why?
Oh,
what?
No. It's my brother and his wife. Please, just be nice.
Ah, Harry, there you are. They said you'd been discovered parading around the palace grounds.
Yeah, and now we're leaving. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Oh, but wait, we haven't met. It's always the same with Harry. It must be in his training. Some efficiency of drill or army thought means he forgets his manners. Hi, I'm Kate. And this my husband, William.
No, wait, she doesn't understand. She's deaf and dumb. Well, not dumb that much, a bit. She speaks sometimes, but chooses when. And unfortunately, now is such a moment she can't talk. And since she's deaf as well, she didn't hear a word you said. That's why she isn't smiling much and looking at me in that funny way. We really should be going, though, before...
Yeah, okay. Hi. Of course I know who you are. Wow, William and Kate. Jesus.
This is unusual.
Well, yeah, I'm just showing her the palace.
Are you from Reading?
Yeah. Why?
Had the accent. Me too. Well, not, like, it was a village nearby.
I'm from Purley.
Purley? We used to go there sometimes and hang out on the weir.
Yeah, we did that. Smoke a bit of weed. Didn't know you were from there.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, we're going to bed.
Okay.
I mean separately, separate beds.
I'm not really interested. It's good to meet you, Jess.
You too, William. See you later. Weirdest day ever.
Perhaps, just as you hoped, he's growing up. She seems quite unlike his normal horsey girls. This Jess, I like. She's rather down to earth.
Hmm.
But what's the matter, husband? Since we sat and had expansive breakfast, while our king did talk, he seemed distracted and pensive-like.
When offered what he's wanted for so long, I thought Dad had seized the moment and renewed go greet the people, smiling, talking to the press, so to ensure the public know the man who is about to hold the crown. Instead, by all accounts and what I've seen, he stays inside, just reading books and bills. It isn't what I'd hoped.
Oh, Lord. Ah, with William and Kate. They said I was to wait here and soon the king would join. They didn't mention you were settled here as well. I'll quickly go sit elsewhere.
Oh, Mr. Evans, stay a moment, please. We just were taking time to look upon the walls.
The walls, Duchess?
Indeed. For there in paint and brush, the very best of kings and queens from days ago. Together they narrate a story of succession, of a change.
Yes. Indeed, it is a time of change. That's true.
But, sir, you look so pale. Distraught. You must sit down. We'd rather that than have you faint.
You're kind to me.
So sudden. What's the cause?
You will forgive me if I do not give detail of my conference. It is a matter of some delicacy.
But if it causes such distress...
Of course we understand and will not press on you. Perhaps some water.
Thanks. Again, you're both so kind.
This must be something virulent, indeed, that does affect the king as strongly as Prime Minister. For William himself did just a minute hence remark he thought that Charles seemed quite as out of sorts as you. Perhaps it is an illness passing round.
No illness, Duchess, no. A matter that need only trouble him and I for now.
For now?
Why, yes. Because if forced, it could, in time, cause problems for us all.
Please tell me what. Perhaps I might relieve the harshness of this mystery sore.
In reading here, you mustn't tell a soul what's written or not written by the king.
Here, Mr. Evans, water fetched and got by careful hand of Prince of Wales.
But, Kate, what on that paper makes that look which from experience I know tends doom and fury from your normally soft and poised face? You seem distressed. Here.
Yes. Read. I take it this is not a fake.
Brought by butler. Phone call did confirm the fact that Charles has marked it there himself, and I, as people's leader, come to say this will not stand. He must allow this bill to pass both signed and unamended.
But, William, why would your father decide to interfere so crassly in affairs of state? My husband, what say you?
Nothing.
Say what? Say more. For nothing comes of nothing said.
My father's king. He may have reason that we do not know or understand as yet. Our loyalty lies to serve the wishes of His Majesty, and here in ink his want is writ in black and white. So that is that.
But Mr. Evans...
Stands his ground, as right he must in representing those whose votes empower him to lead. But we, as son and daughter of the crown will only give support and leave dispute to those who have a stake in what is being argued on.
You have a stake, much more than most.
So here you are, all met. We've Kate, my son, Prime Minister as well. I surely hope the Prince of Wales and Duchess welcomed you and made you comfortable. Well, have they, yes?
They have, Your Majesty. For when thirsty, I did mention water. Prince of Wales did then go fetch it thus himself and bring it hence. Hmm.
A future king waits butler-like upon the people. Well, that awaits us all, perhaps.
We will depart, allowing you to talk.
Goodbye, Your Majesty. And Prime Minister, we'll see you soon. I'm sure we will.
Well, Mr. Evans, here you are, and there you hold the way I feel about your law.
Firstly, it is my fault that when we met, I failed to help you understand the way the voice of monarch has effect. It is something...
You're patronising now, that's worse. At least before you made assumption that I knew the role of crown, but now you name me fool.
No, sir, that's not what I intend at all. But how can I progress with such an act? You'll hope I'll take this back to Parliament.
You take it back. You say that there is fault in how the bill is drafted. Say you've thought again. The House does then once more debate, and having done, whatever comes of that, I will accept and sign without delay.
But with respect, you've not authority to refuse our will like this. You're not elect.
I worry that in time to come, this will have greater consequence than you or I can tell, that maybe...
Forgive me, sir, to interrupt. It's not the content here discussed, but just the fact you will not sign. The opposition, too, with me agree that even though they did not want this bill and would not have it law...
You've talked to Mr. Stevens? What said he?
The same. That you must sign.
Oh, but yes, of course he said I must.
Your Majesty... Have you thought what people will, when hearing that you have reserved assent, be wont to do? If word of any part of this did reach outside these walls, division would result. I beg you, sir, let's talk some more as months and years go on, but here it is. Perhaps you could just get your pen and sign the bill.
You have not changed a word?
It is the same. Were there solution evident that could enable both of us to have our way, I'd take it in an instant, for I know you're acting out of conscience.
That's right, and in good conscience I have thought that come the moment, surely I could sign. But when the pen approaches paper thus, about to store forever my assent and tell the future generations that King Charles did let this happen and in proof applied the value of his name beneath, the pen dries up. My hand, it cannot write. For if my name is given through routine, and not because it represents my view, then soon I'll have no name, and nameless I have not myself, and having not myself, possess not mouth, nor tongue, nor brain. Instead, I am an empty vessel, waiting for instruction, soulless and uncorporate. And like I saw on television when I was a younger man, I'm Charles no more the human being, but transformed into a spitting image puppet, lying prone upon the table, waiting for some man to come, and then inserting his own hand to operate the image of the king, pretending life, a simulation of the outer skin, with nothing in the heart.
This is your role. You surely must have known.
But I'm not sure if ever in the past that there was such a bill that changed the way that speech is granted freedom. Not since the news was born has government and state been there allowed to use the threat of jail to stop the presses based on what they deem is unacceptable. The Queen did not, in all her years bethroned, face laws like this to pass.
I do agree. For in her time, she faced far greater revolution when she lost an empire. Granted that the law on homosexuality be changed. She oversaw the alteration from the unions, mines and factories that stood for generations to a world that saturated, Reaganized, did place the profit higher value than the pride belonging to the man who travels day by day upon the Clapham omnibus. And through all this, when laws arrived from those prime ministers she hated, doing things of which I'm sure she never would approve, she still did sign. Respected all the votes, empowering those elect to make the law. She always signed. She always gave assent.
Well, I cannot.
And I, in turn, cannot, as British leader, stand to let this go. I'm sorry, sir, but if I leave this room without King Charles imprinted there below, I cannot keep it secret, and will tell the world that simply you refuse to sign. And in addition, I'll ensure this bill becomes the law without your royal assent.
Your first assurance, making public what their newly risen king has failed to do, is your prerogative, so go ahead. But second, that you can pass laws yourself without consulting head of state is wrong. My lawyers are agreed. You may not like my medicine, but you cannot legally dispute its high authority. Redraft the law with changes that defend the independence of the press and send it back, and I will sign immediately.
Your Majesty, no. You're sure that this is what you want to do?
Without my voice and spirit, I am dust. This is not what I want, but what I must.
With the bill concerning privacy and the statutory regulation of the press, the King has unexpectedly refused to grant assent on grounds that he does not concur with what it does intend. I've done all I can to ease his mind, but he is not persuaded. And despite his certain knowledge that the royal assent is ceremonial and not a tool, he has continued to withhold his pen. We're currently negotiating still in order to progress, but here I say importantly, that first we must defend democracy itself and leave aside our diverse views on what the bill contains. So to this end, I will here make a pledge that either printed with the royal assent or standing firm without his regal sign, the measure will be law within the month.
I'm speaking from the palace, Dewall, reluctantly tonight. I had a hope my ministers and I could find a way to circumvent a public feud like this. But driven by my conscience, I have declined to pass a law that would give government the right and power to restrict and then decide what is acceptable to say in print. Once fragile politicians can, whilst claiming public sensitivity, go censoring what's writ or not, it will be easier to govern as corrupt than bother being held unto account. And therefore I, who stand outside the rough and tumble of expedience, do caution them and ask they think again. So far, they have refused. So now do I, as King and servant to the populace, request your understanding and your trust that this, a rare but necessary act, is not me stepping too far from the throne, but is my duty and fulfilling what the king or queen is sworn by oath to do.
Miss Edwards, here at last. Well, better late than not at all. Although I don't yet know your wish, so maybe that's not true.
Yeah, okay. I need to speak, but Harry can't know.
And here it is.
Here's what?
The trouble that from years of managing these things I sensed was brewing from the moment we first met.
I know you don't approve of me.
Now, true. But I'm late home, so what do you want?
Increasingly, there's stories in the news about the Prince and I. Think I'm an unusual match for him, and so explore my past and present, calling up my friends.
This is to be expected, I'm afraid. There's really nothing to be done.
I know. And just so long as it's about my politics, I'm actually fine with it. But there's a buried story that they will uncover and would cause embarrassment, not just to me, but to the Prince.
I see. It's for this reason I prefer the Prince did stick to Sloanish fluff. But now it seems he fancies you instead, so... Yes, what's wrong?
3 years ago, when I was only young and starting out, I knew a boy called Finn. He was a dick, if truth be told, but we, because we lived in different cities then, did text our love instead of meeting up.
Oh dear.
That's right.
I'm guessing where this goes.
One day, when I was in the mood, I had composed a text expressing love and such, which I then sent to him. But now he does make contact once again and threaten me.
He threatens you with one small text?
Yeah, which... well, in truth it did contain additional form. A token of my love.
A token, right.
And although I'm not the kind of girl who plays around like that, I must confess, I took a picture that... well, it was private.
I really don't need to know the details.
But he, last week, made contact and did say he'd seen the news. And since I wanted gold, he should have his. He threatened then to send the photo to the Sun on Sunday if I do not pay him cash.
Well, that's a shame. But like I said, there's really nothing I can do. It's blackmail, so you could approach police, but they, I warn you, leak like carrier bags. And have no love for matters royal these days.
Oh, come on. If this was Harry or the King, you'd do something.
With respect, miss, you are not part of the family. If truly you wish to save the prince, perhaps you should leave his side, and thereby taking from this man the power that he now has. Have you thus far met the King?
Not yet. Oh, God.
Then may I suggest this is not the time. Go now. I'll show you.
Opinion polls suggest that people are divided almost equally as to if my non-signing is within my rights or not. But that halves far more than I expected would agree with me on this. Whatever many like to think, there is a wise and ancient bond between the crown and population of this pleasant isle. It's only in the last 500 years that politicians and democracy have led the way in policy and meant the people vote for whom they want to lead, and this is right. But unlike countries which did build existence through the parliament, this is for us an option added on. Like sat-nav on a car. It doesn't come as standard, and the car will function well without. It drives, protects, it normally goes. And though it's wise to pay for extra help, and usually the voice of the machine assists us well to get from A to B, when lost and crisis strikes, we soon mistrust these modern ways and reach for what we know. We seek the map from years before, and there do stabilize and resecure our way.
Charles?
Hmm?
I stupidly had thought that once you're king, perhaps it would reduce the angst you feel. Instead, your face has lines I never saw before. And in this light, your hair looks far more pale than I remember. Is it worth the pain?
I don't know if you're right. I do avoid the mirror in these last few weeks, it's true, but in myself I feel much greater strength.
You sit there at your desk and work and read, which means... we cancel trips that should be made and let down crowds who have looked forward to your presence there.
It is these days when I define my monarch's voice. I need the time.
But that's not what the people want. Remember that the fulsome praise the Queen did most receive was that she always filled her duties, even in the later years. And similar for you. Remember when in Somerset the levels sank beneath the waters of the flood? You were the first to wade into the problem. Now they need the same. Oh, dear Charles. Oh, I wasn't sure to tell you, but someone waits to see you here tonight. Oh. I know it's late, and when I heard he had arrived so unannounced, I said to hold and let you finish dinner. Then we'd see your mood before we grant him audience.
Not Mr. Evans, no. I'm tired. Tell him...
it's Mr. Stevens waits.
Send him in and leave us here to speak.
Be careful, Charles. I do not trust him well.
Your Majesty, please forgive how late it is. I was not keen to draw attention to the fact we have a conference tonight.
I'm sure you're not, since vocally you've been most critical of what I've done, despite a week before, within this very room, assuring me of your complete support.
Forgive me, but I never offered that. Support in private, yes, but all I did was draw attention to your rights as king.
A politician's tongue you have indeed, and weasel mouth. It's late. I've had enough. Cut to the chase.
Perhaps you know that Mr. Evans will, in 2 days' time, bring forth a bill within the House that makes it clear a law cannot be halted waiting for the King's assent. Mm. This bill is sure to pass. And subsequent, the Bill of Privacy. And from then on, not only this particular law, but all the legislation still to come will not appear before the monarch's eye or pen. You will not only fail upon this one and only thing, but in fact the crown will lose the right to speak forevermore. So I had wondered what your majesty did plan to fix this far erroneous course. Because you see you only have 2 days. And I, for one, would not be happy that the influence our monarch has be changed.
Therefore, you think the better evil is take pen and sign the wretched and corrupted bill.
I would be sad that it would come to that.
What then? You speak as if you have a good idea.
Well, this is why I'm not officially here. It means I can say words to you that I will not have said.
The politician's tongue.
But now you see it has its purposes. It is not up to me to tell the king what he has privilege to do, but if he needed inspiration, he could mull how William IV resolved a not entirely different situation.
You speak in circles. Now, say what you mean.
Your Majesty, no, because I am not here. I just suggest you might research the past. But it is late, so I should go and rest. I have a tingling that the next few days will, one way or another, bring disrupt, tempestuous waking sleeps unto us all.
The stakes are raised again, and now I feel unease, for I know well the precedent of William IV. Oh, it's cold tonight. I should insist they fix this draught that late at night blows tempests through. But no, not now. Again, it is the same beshrouded lady walking through the walls. You are not real. It cannot be. Go, now.
My darling Charles, your face, it is so pale. You often looked in thought, but not like this.
It said my name.
You think I didn't love you? It's not true. I always cared. I always wanted best, but you rejected me. And so away I went.
Diana.
But in all that time, I never hoped. I never thought that you...
What do you mean, you never thought?
I never reckoned on the fact that you, as crown, who worries about the way you look and stroke your hair down into place and nervously do touch above your lip when getting sad, will be the greatest king we ever had.
The greatest king? But stop. Please, wait. I didn't understand. Explain. But no. It drifts away like mist at dawn. Oh, God, if anyone did see me now, their brand new king who sleepless runs towards the made-up nonsense in his head. But yet she is quite beautiful. I know the walk. The greatest king, what did that mean? My mother ruled for 70 years. She must be counted straight away. A greater crown. Unless, implied the ghost, a single deed that's done or not. A punctuation that, making stronger impact hitting once, does with surprising shock and awe achieve what slow experience could not. Perhaps there's wisdom in insomnia, and sleep does drive me where awake I fear. In sense... I fold and pay the heavy debt. But madness says to play, and up the bet.
It is a strange and ambulous night. I lay flat out, but then there was a noise that woke me in a second. High it was. A scream, I thought. The kind that I have heard when women, inconsolable and full of tears, do try to breathe, but not for years. Since I remember through the door and walls of my lost mother's bedroom, we could hear her cry herself to sleep at night. Have I encountered such a shriek as that? You're never up this early in the morn, unless for you it's still the night before.
I'm sure I heard a scream.
And so did I.
It was so like our mother's voice, it freaked me out.
But I've checked. There's nothing going on.
Well, that's the story of my life. Oh. You know, once woke, I lay and thought I've had enough. You will be king. Kate, your queen. Even if our father's making waves, at least he's allowed to choose his course. But I am doomed forever just to chase your wake, a ginger joke bereft of value.
The way our father acts, the joke may be on all of us.
But then I turned to speak to Jess, who slept tonight with me, and found that she had gone. And in her place a note, which read she thought that it would never work. She would embarrass me, she said.
I thought your Jessica did cheer your mood. The two of you had fun.
We have. She does, and not just fun. We have done things that most do every day, but I assumed were not within my compass royal. She has unblinkered me and opened my eyes. The world is wider now, more depth and shape, but with this new perspective I do only seem more trapped. More narrowed down by this, the family. I thought she might be glowing exit from this regal hole and scape me from a life of humorous periphery, but now, upset, she's gone.
It is a passing mood. There will be girls to come. There always have before. And if our father's crisis black does shadow more, I hope that I can turn as I have always done to you, and you'll be there. Already at my side, the pact our mother made us make as resolute as on the day was sworn.
What was the scream?
I do not know.
Ah, oh, here's Kate. She'll make me worse. I'll go and find a greasy spoon. And maybe when I'm back, our father will have blown this all to kingdom come and I'll be free at last.
What is it, husband, troubles you like this?
The trouble that you had me countenance so long ago, but which I did ignore. You're right, of course. My father's waited for too many years to call the crown his own, and now he overestimates its worth and makes it ruler over king himself. So golem-like, he craven fears to sign this bill in case the precious crown shouts, weakling, traitor king.
And therefore, you must go persuade at once your father of the damage he inflicts.
You know I cannot make the case myself. For since Mum died, he's wondered if myself and Harry are more loyal to Mother Lost than to our father, who survived and aged. To question him on such a subject now, and he, I know, will be embattled and besieged, will in a second make him draw away. Instead, I have called forth Prime Minister.
You mean he'll be here in the morning light?
Why, no, I've called for him at once, tonight.
Your Highness, Mr. Evans waits outside.
Well, right on cue. He's punctual as well.
Go back to bed and leave all this to me.
I will not go. For surely you'll be king someday, but on that day I am as much the queen, and I do not intend to be a silent partner in that regal match. Please show him in.
I will, Duchess.
Before, when sleeping, did you hear a scream?
What scream?
A high and terrifying sound.
I didn't hear a thing. A scream? Who screamed? Good Mr. Evans, what a kindness shown to rise from bed at early hour thus. I fear my family does cause you pains.
My lady, I cannot pretend that, yes, my life would be a joy in recent weeks if Britain was a republic.
I've heard that you intend to call together all the members of the House and then propose exclusion of the crown from making law.
Tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow? What? So soon?
Ideally, I'd preserve our current mode, but as things stand, I haven't got a choice.
Would you consider waiting for a week and giving time to let my father change?
Already we have waited, and he changes not.
But what if William went at earliest hour to see his father and persuaded him?
No, Kate, I can't.
What time's the vote?
It's 12 o'clock.
My Catherine, I did make it clear I'll not inflict the same division on ourselves that currently does tear at our country. Instead, I wondered if Prime Minister might make one more attempt. I cannot think that if my father truly understood...
He comprehends it well. He will not sign. I have no choice.
My nervous future king, you must go now and tell him what to do. Because it's not just him or you risk by sitting here and doing nothing. Thus, it is our children. And their children hence. And after that, all generations royal that are to come in future years, they all do look to you, insisting you defend the crown against this fool's indulgence. I say this not as future queen, but just as British woman, proud of both my state and king. with understanding that it is a balance in a contradiction between those elected and those born to rule that is unique and does protect and make us all.
It wouldn't change a thing. He is too proud.
Then think not only of persuading him, but finding lever, so he must agree.
What lever?
Say the thing that must be said, the fact that both of us command support that does near thrice outweigh the aged king, and if we want it, might begin to itch in waiting for the throne.
You stop right now.
I think perhaps I will leave you both.
I say what you two gentlemen will not. There is another way to solve this thing.
That is the opposite of all that I believe. I will never step across my father's right.
In that case, Mr. Evans, fare thee well. Good luck tomorrow, casting off the last remains of ancient and outdated royals.
I'm sorry it's come to this. I really am.
You did embarrass him.
He's fine. And laughs at us while we decline. My husband, look at me. My love for you is full. And as the moment that we met, I do not think you weak at all, but wrong. Become the man I know you are and act.
I am not king. My wife knows not that in the years before my grandmother did pass away, she sat with me for hours at a time, and because I made a point to ask, did talk to me about what she had learned. She said, temptation lies as royal to act and speak and lead and always move, when actually the greatest influence that we can wield is through our standing still. Not rash and never changing, a great crown is made by dint of always being there. I'll keep my silence and let life unfold. What was that? Perhaps it's Kate come back. It's not from her direction. Maybe something... Oh, God. A glimmering and hovering form.
Oh, William.
She cries my name. I know that voice.
Oh, William. You're now the man I never lived to see. So tall and proud.
Mum.
But still, the face remains the same. And there, the eyes hold kindness. Yes, but suffering too. Such pain. My son, such heart. But now be glad. You'll be the greatest king we ever had.
Don't go. This comes of waking wrongly in the night. Perhaps some sleep can fix the problems that awake I cannot solve, so I'll to bed. But still, the greatest king. That's what she said.
Yeah, mate?
Kebab, please.
Oh, no, you're too late. I switched it off.
Oh, please, I'll pay more.
Okay, okay. Donna?
Yeah.
Long night?
I think I might quit my job.
Oh, be careful about that. Way things are, I mean, we all have shit jobs. Maybe it's different for you. You sound a bit posh. Yeah, don't want to be rude, but maybe your mum and dad can help you out or something?
Yeah, my mum's dead.
Oh, right. Mine too. Suppose everybody's mother dies one day.
Yeah.
Or even the king. His mother dies, he don't even cry. What's that about? Why do you want to quit then?
I think I'm in love.
Ooh, pretty gal?
Yeah.
You want to run off with her? Huh? Start a new life?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's just warming up. That's 480. Oh, look at her. out of date now, ain't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You know, since she died, the world's gone mad, I swear. Every night, people have this look. It's a bit like you. They come here, they want a kebab, a coke, and it's like they're terrified. I think I know why. They don't know where they live. They don't know what Britain is anymore.
What do you mean?
Slice by slice, Britain's less and less. You cut the army, that's one bit gone. Squeeze the NHS, the post office, gone. The pubs, shut. Huh? Scotland, less and less. Smaller all the time. And when does Britain get so cut down that it's not Britain anymore?
You think that's now?
You know, the Queen's dead. If you take enough layers away, what you got left underneath? Know what I mean? Maybe she was what held it together.
I've got no layers left.
Well, here you are.
Thanks.
Where's this girl of yours, then?
She left me.
You love her?
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, that's something, then. Find her. Night.
A move to raise ourselves out from the overseeing shadow that for centuries has held us to account. So, it's not the moment to become a bunch of children stamping up and down. No, both major party leaders now will speak, then will vote at once and there forthwith. If passed by special measures made, the bill will straight go to the House of Lords, who wait upon us even now to take this vote. So, first, the Leader of the Opposition!
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And because we know the facts upon this matter well, I will unusually be very brief. Our Parliament exists to make sure that the people of this country do decide the codes and principles by which they live. Yeah. It is a contract made between a man or woman and the state, by which both sides must there agree that citizen does have a voice and in return will keep the law. And so, an intervention in this way that so removes the voice but keeps the law is absolutely wrong. And in this House must every vote support this vital bill.
Prime Minister,
I make assumption that we all vote in favour of this bill. But we all here now have made a choice to come and represent constituents, to have their say in this, their House, and give their weight and influence to the shaping of the government and law. Although we have the crown as head of state, both history and precedent does hold him in his place. And now he oversteps. So we must act, and not impertinent or rude or out of disrespect, but since we have no other choice than to protect our democratic British way of life.
And now, by ancient process, we divide the House. We divide the House. Eyes to the... Will someone please, before we vote, go see what causes that infernal knocking there?
Empowered by ancient decree, I do, as King of England, Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland, use my royal prerogative here to dissolve the Parliament at once.
Order! I will have silence now!
This noise demeans you all. Is this the space where public will is spoken heard, or just a stand for juvenile and selfish squall? Through petty theft and fighting here amongst yourselves, you've lost the population's trust. I am not prone to certainty, but you have drawn that measure in my unsure heart. Unlike you all, I'm born and raised to rule. I do not choose, but like an Albion oak, I'm sown in British soil and grown not for myself, but reared with single purpose meant, whilst you have small constituency support, which gusts and falls as does the wind. My cells and organs constitute this land. devoted to entire populace of now, of then, and all those still to come, and in their interest, in their voice. The Speaker knows it is within my right to sack my ministers and call a fresh election.
Order! Order! Gentlemen, please!
My Speaker, will you here confirm to them that what I do is well within my right and anointed power to, as King, demand?
Your Majesty, if this is what you want, then this you can, as King, command.
Lacrimosa dies illa, quares urget ex agila, judicandus homores qui, ergo pace de.
In times like this, a paper feels absurd. Unless we could reprint the articles in every second. News contained in here is counted history. When King does march, and Parliament is forcibly dissolved. When Labour leader says we should remove the King, and Tory says he isn't sure. It's changing every second. And my point of view is, make him sign somehow, and then we're done. But I'm alone. Most people are enraged. They march at day, and then at night they camp outside the palace, shout against the King. Although there's only a few thousand now, the numbers grow. And sometimes there's a brave supporter of the King who tries to take them on, and this has sparked some violence. But none of this is on page one, because in truth, it's not much fun. It takes up 2 to 25, but visually, the public's eye, they know, will drift to this instead. A photo of a girl in bed. Oi! Do I know you?
Don't think so.
Hi.
Oh, Harry, come on! You can't be here! You might be lynched on your own.
No, I'm not on my own.
What?
Terry?
Yes, sir!
Everything under control.
Yes, sir, for now.
But that's how I found you. I know why you left. It's okay.
Harry, none of my friends are talking to me. Every second people recognize me and laugh. And I never wanted any of it. I don't want to be famous. I don't want anything to do with that. Or you. Not anymore.
What, you mean that?
Yes! Just go home.
But I don't know what to do without you.
You'll be okay.
There must be a way.
No, mate. You're a prince. And you always will be.
Sir, we should be moving.
Yes, I've got an idea. But come with me back to the palace.
No.
One last chance, please. Just give me an hour.
It won't work.
It might.
I'm a Republican.
Yeah, I know, but you're beautiful as well. Please.
All right.
Sir Gordon, thanks indeed for coming here at such short notice. Would you like a drink?
Your Majesty, I am refreshed and keen to hear how I can be of use.
The crowds? Outside, you hear it's every day.
I know.
But they're passionate, and from what I can tell, extremely keen for my untimely death.
They're unemployed and students. All they want is a good excuse to make some noise. It's fine.
I am reminded of that day, the year it was, that I was married to Diana, and on the Trooping of the Colour, when the Queen was leading, riding out in front and trotting down the Mall in glorious sunshine. There came from somewhere in the crowd 6 shots.
aimed at my mother, echoing around. The horse was panicked and reared up at once, in contrast to the ever-steady queen, who calmed the beast and simply carried on whilst round her. Much too late, the guards did run and, startled like the horse, did throw themselves into the crowd to find the armed man. Of course, we learned he fired blanks that day and merely wanted fame. But now, I think, it's likely when in time those shots are aimed at me, I'll only get to hear the first.
It's natural, sir, that you will be concerned when constantly this rabble raid and shout. But rest assured, you are protected well.
How many guards are standing there, outside?
Because you are in residence, we have at all times four in front, and then, of course, there is the royal police within the walls, and extra agents that protect yourself.
It is the guards in front that bother me. Please have them tripled. At all times, I want 12 men to be there, visible to all.
Your Majesty, these men in front are there for tourist ceremony, not defence. If it's your safety that concerns, may I...
It is my preservation, and I know that will be served by what the public see. The truth is that my greatest enemies stand not within the crowd outside, but there, in Whitehall, waiting for the slightest glimpse of weakness.
I see. You want a show of strength.
Sir Gordon, these are in truth strange days, and so when timely pressed, you'll need to know precisely where, to whom, your loyalty lies. If government, of course, I'd understand. But possibly you think like me, that King can, on occasion, ask the Parliament to reconsider what they mean to do. For that is all I ask. To think again. Sir Gordon, in the end, it's up to you.
My loyalty. Perhaps I can suggest, Your Majesty, that in these times of severely heightened threat, it would be wise not only to increase the armed guard that stand outside the gate from 4 to 28 from day to night, but in addition, maybe we should park upon the terrace at the front a tank or similar large and armoured vehicle. It is important that we send a message out that makes it clear the King supported well. Because you're right, indeed, that when we join the forces, we all swear that come what may, we shall protect the King. And so we will.
The Leader of the Opposition, sir.
Send him in.
Your Majesty, Sir Gordon, greetings both. I promise to ensure you are updated on how the House of Commons does respond toward the intervention of the King.
Yes, well?
It is a mixed bag, of course. There are those on both sides who strongly feel that we, as signed-up members of the House, did swear we would obey the law as written down, and not, like children, wait until the day it didn't suit and then decide, in fact, we'd rather not. I'd say that is how we Conservatives do feel, that we should go back to the people and, as you've decreed, seek re-election to the House. And then, if we're successful, think about a change.
Or not.
Or not. Precisely right indeed. Unfortunately, those of Labour, and for what they're worth, the other parties too, are resolute that we should not dissolve and should instead, in contravention of your royal decree, continue with the House and make that legislation that will stop the King from interference in the state.
Then, Mr. Stevens, take the message back. The King is stubborn and he will not move. The surest and the smoothest course would be to make a new election, and thereby we'll ask the people to resolve our spat.
This is what I will press on all of them. A steady course to chart through rocky seas.
Your Majesty, if there's nothing else, I will go organise the extra troops outside.
Now, before you do, there's just one question more. Despite the 19th century uniforms and strangely soaring bearskin hats they wear, I wondered if the soldiers' antique guns did carry ammunition that was live.
The men that stand so still outside the gates do practice with their rifles every week. The funny hats are just a way to fuzz the brutal fact the army's on the streets, and answerable not to the police or to the politician's changing whims, but only to that officer. And so, by ladder of command to you, the Crown. Whatever comes to pass, we will be there.
What's all this talk of arms and loaded guns?
The Parliament refuse to budge an inch, and like a horde of squatters occupy a house they're not entitled to.
But all these people, generals, judges, Mr. Stevens, none of them would be the men that you in normal circumstance would trust.
The very air tastes strange these last few days. But having made a move, I now must stick and see it through, even if I must make fair weather friends who only seek the sun.
Your Majesty, forgive me bursting in like this, but news has broken out today. There is another problem.
Yes, what problem now?
Oh, Harry, we don't see enough of you.
Camilla, father, here's my friend. Her name is Jess. She studies at St. Martin's College.
St. Martin's College? Good. So, you're in art.
Yeah.
Sir, please, if I could interrupt.
Oh, yes, James says another crisis looms, so good to meet you, Jess, but we...
I think that James's crisis stands within this room.
You are correct.
What do you mean, this room?
Oh, please, Dad, if I could be allowed to speak. For reasons you don't need to understand, a picture made of Jessica that is quite intimate has made its way onto the cover of the London paper, and will no doubt grace the Nationals as well. There is attack towards her worse than I have seen against Kate or me or Mum or you. I think because of class, the public's not so comfortable with someone like themselves. But let me tell you, she is something else to anything our family has known. I suddenly can see my life before was full of stupid idiocy to so distract me from a sadness kept within. Distract me because I had nothing to love. And though yourself and William are most loving in familial ways, I had no one to share thoughts with. No one who spent the time to work out who I was and what I really needed. She has done all this, and still does more, a force of nature. Makes me laugh and think and grow. She's free. So free, but now she wants to leave me because of this.
I've never heard you speak in such a way, with passion, strength, and rhythm, too.
My son has spoken, but the lady's quiet. Please, Jessica, come tell me what you think.
He's right that in the last few weeks we have formed a relationship that is unique. I do not want to leave your son. But now each hand in London touch on me tonight. I feel such shame is unbearable.
Sir, please, if I could add perspective to this well-intentioned but ill-fated match...
I know what you will think, dear James. I need not hear it now. If I defend the freedom of the press, it's with the knowledge they will never live up to the higher standard. Naked girls and boys will illustrate their pages. Horrific murders will be made still more atrocious by intrusion, and they'll make hypocrisy an art, insisting that they stand chief moralist while making cash as base pornographer. I know this much. So all that we can do is stand our ground. For if they're free to print this dirt, then we have liberty as well to answer back. Dear Jessica, you have done nothing wrong. I understand the picture causes shame. There's little we can do about that. But Harry is bewitched by you. And though I once did question what love meant, I now can see it, standing here so desperate, begging you stay. So now you have my word. You have the royal protection and respect. Whatever we can do to help, we will. You will be welcome in our family.
But, sir, that's not...
It isn't that we want.
Come, Harry, now it's done. Your father has been generous with time and inclination.
I do not want her noble princess made. Instead, descend myself into the mass. Cast off the princely burden of my birth and for my life be Harry, man and friend with job and house and car and maybe wife. I want to go with her into the world, not trap her here inside these regal walls.
It isn't possible.
If King approves, it can through... boredom work. We make no fuss, except that I've moved, got job, and will no longer take the civil list. I'll have no role official and not prince. I'll live a life of normalcy within this country rather than atop the mound, unearned, and with a target on my back.
You would not be a prince?
I'd be your son. But no. My love for Jessica comes first. Because, like you, I don't believe that born a prince must mean I sacrifice my soul, my hopes, desires, all that makes me me. Instead, I should be free to choose my path. We all should. William, yourself, young George should be allowed an unpredicted life.
You are like opposites in every way. But dissimilarity instead does make a match. So, Harry, yes, you may do as you wish.
If I can interrupt, whatever you may do, this story is distraction when the throne itself is in dispute. Perhaps at least postpone this alteration till when you are safely crowned king.
All right. Then after coronation, yes?
Okay.
Okay.
And James, in case the presbycist, you see the lady is defended, yes? You have something to say?
Your Majesty, no. I'll do as you command.
Well, good. For though my problems are the same, through Harry's love, I'm driven on again.
It is bewildering that even now, these little rooms of power are stocked full with white and southern, likely Oxbridge, men. Without the Queen, the bias is more stark. The King's a man, Prime Minister as well. Combine the front benches of both sides, you'll have a female total of just 4. And so, despite emancipation, we must look towards the harder sex to find the power. But I know nothing. Just a plastic doll. Designed, I'm told, to stand embodying a male-created, bland and standard wife, whose only job is prettying the prince and then, if possible, get pregnant with the royal and noble bump to there produce an heir or two. And oft I'm told I don't have thought or brains to comprehend my strange position. But being underestimated so does give me what these men could never have. Since no one asked me what I think, I can observe and plan and learn the way to rule, for I will be a queen. Unlike the ones before, my mother's dad was in the north, a miner born. My father came from Leeds, and both of them, when young and inexperienced, did risk their house and all they had to try and make a business of their own. But it's not just this stock I bring to these most distant regal realms, but something more important and precise. I have ambition for my husband, yes, and hope my son will grow the finest king. But if I must put up with taunts and make so public everything I am, then I demand things for myself. I ask no less than power to achieve my will in fair exchange for total service to the state. Yes, this is what enthroned that I will do, not simply help my husband in his crown, but wear one of my own. But here's my husband. He's been on the phone.
How did it go?
I asked him of his plans.
His plans?
Of what he did intend to do now that there's violent protest up and down the country between supporters of the crown and those who want its swift, complete demise.
And what said he?
He simply said the strength of public voice in strong support did give him solace that he wasn't wrong.
This is an answer, clear enough to me. Charles is stranded. Using what's to hand, a smile and say, oh, this was always the plan. But what he hopes is that from out the blue there'll grow a noise, a chopping engine sound, and through the clouds a helicopter comes and, lowering down its harness, scoops him up and quickly lifts the tired, reckless man to safety from the bleak and troubled rock.
Your Highness, the Prime Minister.
I didn't ask him here.
I know. Prime Minister.
Duchess, you asked to see the head of the Metropolitan Police.
You're kind to come attend on us when you must be distract, indeed.
Distract is right.
Please, tell us latest news.
Well, last night saw violent spark across the land. In Liverpool, a protest made towards the Mersey, lifting effigy they'd built based on your father. Burnt it bright, then dropped it in the sea. In Oxford, marches have formed on both sides, and even as we speak, they clash. In Edinburgh, the same. Belfast, in Norfolk, one poor man was pushed through glass and now does lie in most intensive care. But London is the worst.
The worst?
We are, Your Highness, much too stretched.
Then find reserves to flood the streets.
Reserves are out. No more to come. Will last maybe another day.
Then we should let you carry on. Our thanks.
The Speaker will not open up the House because he fears it is illegal as things stand, so the Members of Parliament do sit, just as 400 years ago in Westminster Hall instead. But because we've only half the House, we can't make laws.
We should stay calm, for still you are in charge. This is the way it works. Until there's new Prime Minister, the old fulfills the task.
Already, Mr. Stevens has questioned my right to make decisions.
The services are functioning well. Schools, transport, health.
No, sir. The schools have closed. Doctors are stretched. The bloodshed worsens every day we wait, and while we in the House attempt to calm, the King has generals round to tea and parks a tank in Buckingham Palace grounds. Perhaps exaggeration, but there is talk of civil war.
A joke.
Not at all.
The British stock, which was considered safe, has in 2 short weeks completely crashed.
Prime Minister, in private, I, of course, wholeheartedly do give my full support, but this is for the Parliament to solve.
Oh, William, they can't. Parliament is impotent and just become a meeting house of men. The time has come to go and halt this mess.
Your Highness, please. Your wife is quite correct.
I can't.
For George!
You must not make me.
Then, sir, I think you will be prince no more, for none that follow will be king again.
You are a man of serious intent. Throughout our recent troubles, you've shown my father great respect and courtesy. Prime Minister, go back to number 10. You can leave this to me. I'll bring an end to this unnecessary episode.
I thank you, sir. An intervention's what we need.
You set me up.
I lifted you, my one, to where, by right of birth, you ought to be.
Then if it's done, it's done at once.
But, husband, wait. I know the way.
The way?
They say the world's a play of surfaces, where meaning's made through only what is shown. You must then focus upon the public eye. You dress your best, and so, of course, shall I.
And so we thought this room would serve us well. A neutral colour, good acoustic, and the space to house the country's journalists.
Not just the country, across the world, the people wait to hear directly from the King.
Of course, that's true.
Would you be one of them?
You mean a king?
I mean a man or woman standing there in front of camera's gaze instead of you or I, who seek to do the best we can while hidden from the public's view.
Oh, this may seem strange, but sometimes I wake up from nightmares where I have been on TV and something's happened, just by chance. Perhaps a light has blown or a chair's collapsed, but I am shocked. And jumping look ridiculous. And then that clip goes viral. And from then forevermore, I am the girl that jumped. It is the matter of my life. And when I die, it will be what is writ. Not all I did and wanted and achieved, but that, a captured idiocy stuck on repeat. Oh, Your Majesty, welcome. Here's the microphone into which you'll speak. The auto cue is there.
Well, thank you, that's good. How long do we now have?
Perhaps we'll let them in... Oh, 5 minutes?
Then could we have a moment to prepare?
Of course. I'll be next door. Just let me know.
I'm still not full persuaded of the need to speak like this.
Every night, Prime Minister and politicians of all creeds, with nothing else to do now that their normal auditorium is shut down, do hop to television. And once there, they make the case in detail all the time against Your Majesty. My fear is that without your voice in contest heard, the public's mood will turn away. And so, although I know it's your idea of hell, you must here stand and meet the press. Remember that they are near to a man surprised that you have leapt to their defence, and thus we're most generous to your views.
Well, I hope that's right. We've never been that close. Mm. But William and Kate, I didn't know you would be here. I thought you'd disapprove.
We'll always serve the interests of the Crown.
As family, we should be seen as one. James says it's what they will expect of us.
It was James persuaded you to come.
It was in conversation, yes. We thought it best to come along like this. But, James, how are those arrangements that you spoke about?
As often with TV, a scrabbled mess, but it all should be sufficient for our needs.
I don't know how to thank you, James. It will be now with pride and strength of clan. I stand my ground and state my case.
We'll stand indeed.
Your Highness,
Duchess!
Yes, ma'am. You will be standing there, and sir, just to the right hand of His Majesty.
As always, James, you've thought of everything. The picture here like this is now complete. The family will be my backdrop, and the news will say the country's safe and clear united.
So, are we ready now?
We are. Proceed.
Okay, then, hurry up!
Well, good afternoon. I'll give you time to get arranged. I know you like to barge and jostle for position.
We'll make a start in 60 seconds' time. Is everyone arranged where they can see? That's good. So, 30, 20, 15, 14, 13, 10, Your Majesty. Live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello. This is...
Sorry. So thank you all for coming here today, and for those of you listening in at home across the country and the Commonwealth. My wife and I have been so shocked by scenes unfolding here and overseas. My father has, through noble conscience, said, as is his right, he will withhold assent. And furthermore, as is legal, too, he has dismissed elected government. Of course, this has resulted in disquiet, not just in homes and streets or in the house, but in our family, too. My wife and I respect my father's choices, but do wish it could have been avoided. And so today I do announce that I, as Prince of Wales, from now will try to mediate between the King and the House of Commons. I am convinced there is a way to move on this without the need for further violence, and respecting both democracy and the ancient British power of anointed king. I have my father's blessing in this role. He is as keen as I am to see an end to this destructive and divisive time. I'm also lucky to have Catherine too, for all of this was actually her idea. Turns out she's cleverer than all of us. Yes. She'll sort us out. My father's finding this quite difficult, as you'd imagine, so he needs support. Forgive me if I don't take questions now, but when we're up and running, I will speak again. Perhaps we'll just do photographs.
Lovely! Duchess!
I have been through the archive many times, but read as king, each word seems made afresh. I have been seeking moments which relate precisely to the current state of play. Our English law is based on precedent, and when I'm called to make my case, I must have all the facts to hand. Examples of when monarchs in the past have also done the same as I, or very near. And so here's Walter Bagehot, 1867, explaining changes to balance of the crown and state. I read it as a child. One line stands out. Now, Bagehot explains that now the monarch's mostly ceremonial and only can expect from here on in the right to be consulted, which I've not, the right to encourage, which is all I do, and most importantly, the right to warn. The right to warn. So, warning is the thing. It's only what I do. I warn, but even that I'm told's too much, and so must tolerate this constant fuzz of bright white noise that emanates from out the mob.
Your Majesty!
Robert!
James Rees waits outside.
The traitor's at the gate. What does he want?
Well, to see you, sir. He'll say no more than that.
Allow him in. The silver lining when someone defects is you don't have to see them anymore.
I wanted to explain.
You knew what William would say to them?
Indeed, I made it possible for him to speak.
You ambushed me!
It was, just as he said, the Duchess's idea. And William knowing not just that I desired this bill against the press to pass, but also that I thought your current course of action fatal to the strong continued influence of the Crown, did suggest this plan, which, although I knew would cause you pain, I believed would, when always weighed, be thought of as the best.
It matters not. It will not work, for I am not in need of mediation here. There's no common ground, no compromise. Anointed not by man, but God, I don't negotiate, but issue my commands. So here I'll sit and wait for what I want to come into existence. I can wait a very long time. I have my books to read.
Sir, you must...
You're surely not intending still to work for me, not after treachery like this.
Your son has offered me employment.
So leave. You've said your bit. No. Before you ask, you're not forgiven. Actually, I hope you fail in everything you do.
Then, sir, farewell.
Be calmed. Your king commands you now to cease. And yet they do not hear. Another case of this, the disproportion of the features, when, unlike me, their ears, so rarely used, are shriveled up and tiny, but their mouth, from making constant noise, is swollen up, and when not talking, fixes in a grin of no emotion, botoxed into place. Be quiet, all. There's some silence here. But no. Although they say it's anger on the news, they danced around a fire lit within the fountain and seemed happy there last night. But wait, there's movement. Noise. A grinding sound. The tank below, its engine started up. It's moving round. What's happening now? The tank was there for show. It should not act, and I should be aware of any change. And yet... it does not move towards the crowd. Instead, it's off the other way and out of sight. I should be told if things have changed. Robert! Robert! Where is that man? Some butler he, who's never here. Huh. William. Where's Robert gone?
I said to take an hour off.
You said?
That's right, Your Majesty. We need to speak.
Your Majesty? But William, it's me. Despite the horrid things you've done, it's me. So call me Dad or Father, if you like, but not Your Majesty, like all the rest.
I call you that, for that is what you are. Before my father, long before all else, you are the king. And that's to whom I speak.
It's Badgett from the ancient archive here. It does enlighten on the changing way the monarchy has influence over the state. It's a thing of quiet beauty. I'm like a book myself, stuck on the shelf. For years, ignored and waiting, only judged by one small sliver of the cover hole. And sitting thus, unopened and unused, the outer surface gathers dust and fades. But if the moment comes to read the tome, and it's removed and rarely opened up, the words and thoughts inside are here as fresh and potent as the day of print.
What did he write?
That I can warn the state, and more, expect fairly to be consulted.
They did at length consult the Queen before...
My mother's dead, and we must start again.
You think too much on books and history.
But what is power held, if never used?
Our duty is not to simply sit indoors and hope things get resolved, but to engage all parties and attempt to find a way.
Engage all parties? King's no such duty.
A duty royal, shared amongst us all.
I will speak harshly to you, William, that I do not request your counsel. I do not need another view. Instead, it is support. Expected and support that you must give. I know that at your age you'll have a sense that in the prime of life you shouldn't be attending on an old and feeble parent. So there's temptation then to patronise, ironically, the ones who gave you birth, to roll your eyes and make a joke about the modern things they do not understand. But doing this is seen by all around as juvenile, the mockery of age, an easy humour, and actually it's wise to listen well. Respect those older and most subtly to learn and grow beside. To draw upon their strength while standing close and offering support to deal with age.
It's not about a father and a son. It is the title I address today, and not my father, who, of course, I love.
You cannot make distinction between the two, when both of us are born and grown towards a single purpose, from our opening breath to final gasp. Our whole existence, all relationships, and yes, our family, is every atom crowned, and every cell within our bodies built by monarchy. Your action yesterday was infantile, and doesn't alter anything at all. You should apologize for such betrayal. But I'll put it down to youth and nerves. Now help me and go fetch good Roberts here. The tank is still remiss and all those guards Sir Gordon kindly put in place have gone.
I know.
You know? What do you mean, you know?
Sir Gordon came to Kensington, we spoke. I said, with the unrest and violence that has spread across the country, we should not be stoking it with these provocative, militaristic shows.
And what said he?
That it was not a show, and that he had, in consultation here with you, agreed it was important that the palace is defended from attacks within the crowd.
Exactly. You should not have questioned it.
But having heard his answer, I went on. That in an hour, I would head towards the palace in the car, the same I drove that sunny day I married my fair wife. Escorted by police, I'll drive straight down the mall and enter through the guarded gates. I then intend to go around the yard, and if, I said, there is a tank, I'll ask my men in blue that they do move it off, because it is a danger having such a deadly weapon aimed towards the crowd. Sir Gordon stopped and stared and thought. Then he asked if I was really serious. Would I incite a clash between the troops who all had guns and the unarmed police? I stared at him, just as I stare at you, and said, I'm looking forward to my drive. And when, as promised, I drove down the Mall, police on either side, expecting that the crowd would see me and attack the car, instead, they saw who steered and parted there to let us through. And as we went between the mob, a silence fell upon them all. It was most strange. They stopped and watched us go. There was no tank, or military might, and just two guards stood to attention there, and as the gates began to close, one girl called out, "You tell him, Will." And so I must.
Must tell me. What?
You can't go back from your decision now.
Agreed. Retreating now would be the end.
And yet you can't progress. The Parliament will never hold elections as you wish.
We'll see.
So I propose on Coronation Day we have two thrones upon the dais placed, and sat on cushions next to them are two crowns awaiting royal heads to rest.
Two thrones? Two crowns? It is not possible for Britain and the Commonwealth to have, as you suggest, two kings in tandem rule.
No, not two kings. A king and queen.
Oh, you mean Camilla? Oft we have discussed...
Camilla, no.
Then what do you intend? Because if it's what I think, then you must speak the words of treachery yourself and shank your father with a full and clear betrayal.
I mean myself and Kate are crowned instead.
And what of me? I simply stand aside.
You offer abdication and explain, since taking on the role, you've felt your age.
There's something in your face I recognize. A stern expression, reckless and so bold. It was Diana when I saw it last, and I had hoped that it had died with her, but here it is, in you, ambition lurks.
I am proud of that ambition. Proud of her, who plucked so young before she knew the world and thrust into a den of lions, keen for meat, was given no protection. And when you decided to make return to one that you have always loved, you cast my mum aside, discarded, then destroyed her by repute.
I loved your mother at the time and did my very best to make sure you weren't harmed.
And that'll be your tombstone. I did my best. At least I tried. That is a plea for effort rather than effect. And that is you as husband, you as son, as father, too, and now as king, but all our sympathy is withered up and dry. This is a job. You should have got it right, and you did not.
Be careful what you say. You've always had my unconditional and total love.
I always said whatever thing you did, my love would never end. But with those words, my mind has changed. I think that I could wash my hands of you and not look back.
Unneeded and romantic gestures seem to be your fault. You needn't let me go. There doesn't have to be this constant turbulence you've brought. I will, as king, return to what your mother did. Stability and certainty above all else.
I will not abdicate, ungrateful boy. I'll never give the crown away to me. It's duty and my calling, things to do. I know. Don't ask me how, that I will be the greatest king of all.
The greatest king. And so you shall. For when they write the history books about this, they will tell stories crisis-like about the stormy days after the Queen had died and how for weeks you contemplated hard upon the right and proper thing to do and in the end decided for the good of all your people and their long-term happiness, you would selflessly stand aside and pass it on to younger hands, more popular and with more time to reign. This move will then be seen today and evermore as when the crown did save itself and through a clever choice, an idea of the greatest king we had renewed the brand to last another century.
A nice conceit. But no, I will be king as ruler, not as doormat stepped across.
Mr. Evans!
No, go! I do not wish to see you now!
Your Majesty, this is a sorry day. But if you cannot sign the law, you must make way for one who can. Your good repute will be preserved and monarchy survive. I brought here a document to make official abdication so we can achieve a common goal, stability.
Who made this thing, this paper here?
The civil service drew it up today.
And printed out in haste. There are mistakes in spelling.
Will you sign?
I will not.
Is it true?
It is.
A vile and nasty child. And what's that document you're holding there? You must do nothing till we have consulted with experts on the Constitution and the lawyers that we pay so much money to. I thought it Harry who was wild, but you have now by far surpassed his worst excess.
My husband, is it done?
Charles would not sign the bill. He will not this. I realise you and Catherine are the king and queen of column inches, but you're just a duke and duchess here. The king is king. He will not sign. Now both of you away.
Your thin opinion of us demonstrates how out of touch you are, and jealous too. Our looks don't make us cruel. Our youth is not an ignorance. And detail in the way we dress should not be thought as vanity, but is part of the substance only we provide. We know the world. Our column inches are the greatest influence that we possess. Majesty, sign and bring an end to this.
Harry, your loyalty for your relationship with Jessica has been a burning light these darkest days.
The people turn to William. This is the only way I am convinced.
Please. My boys. My little boys. Of course you're scared, but I know what I do. So sit, let's talk. As Roberts has gone, I will myself go fetch some tea. And someone here will show me how it's made. There was a joke.
We'll have the tea. And sit and be your sons, but first you abdicate.
And if I don't...
Then we will leave and wait and not return. Yes, us and Kate, the children, family, all. This is tough love. We're all agreed it's best. You will not see us till you change your mind.
I will not see my sons. Or grandchildren, too. I cannot live... alone.
You're not alone. And even if you were, well, better that than father, servant to these shallow sons. The man I married will not bend or break. Instead, as all the world throws rotten fruit, he will be firm and tie his life onto the stake of principle. You boys should go and take this spiteful drip. He is not worthy of the office that he has.
I cannot live alone. The greatest king. So there, it's done. The king is at an end. I will retreat to bed, and when I wake to a new dawn, I'll simply be an old forgotten gardener who potters round and talks to plants and chuckles to himself, whilst far away the king and queen do rule over a golden age of monarchy that bothers no one, does no good. It is a pretty plastic picture with no meaning.
Majesty,
may I personally say that I, despite my public show of happiness, in fact do think this tragic and a hard and bitter end to what you tried to do. I'll always think of Charles as noble king, as man of honor, much too principled for real politic. You may be gone in constitution, but to me you will remain my king of hearts, of all before. You are the very best we never had.
Your Majesty.
Charles, this way.
Miss Edwards? Why do you seem so lost and stand unorientated in the Abbey Isle?
I'll not tell you. You have no love for me. The king said help, but now it's even worse. There's every picture from my wayward youth made weekly fodder for the Daily Mail. And any minor misdemeanor makes a banner headline in the Sun. From how they write of what I do, you'd think that art was rated worse than brutal homicide.
I don't know how much modern art you've seen, but it can sometimes feel like one has died.
I understood the law was changed for this. When journalism turns to voyeur's gawk?
Indeed, but somehow nothing has been done.
Because you want me gone.
Not true. I did my best to help. These stories do us both no good at all.
Your eyes are small. I don't know what to think.
What's your problem, miss?
The seating plan. My name does not appear.
Well, let me see. It's true there is no Jessica. You're sure the prince did make his invitation known?
I'm sure.
Perhaps it would be best to find out from the man himself, for here he comes, so handsome in his uniform. Your Highness, yes, it's such a happy day. Although I wouldn't know it from your pale and cloudy face. Here's Jessica, who seems omitted from the seating plan. Maybe you'll know a little more about this than I.
Okay. So where am I supposed to sit? Not next to you, it seems, not even near. In fact, I am not found at all. Are you all right? I've never seen you grey and stark.
You'll not attend today. As William and Kate are crowned, you'll have to watch outside.
Outside? But why?
I...
Harry?
My brother.
talking with his wife and close advisers. Bearing all the photographs and stories of your past that do appear in mind does feel it would be best you not attend. You are too big a risk to what he needs. Stability. And furthermore, he's asked me personally if I would stop all contact with you and resume the way I was before, a singleton, amusing, mostly clownish and unthreatening. Therefore, I'm sat, as previously planned, with Cootsie, Spencer, these most harmless friends.
I hope you quickly told him where to go.
He's my brother.
Are you joking?
And more than that, he's now anointed king.
So king can tell you what to feel and who you love. The king's dictator of your heart.
My heart was made by king. If I betray allegiance, then the little that I am is gone.
But things have changed. He has to understand. And if you love me, you'd fight this. Or if I have to go, you'd come with me.
I want to. It's starting soon.
Present to you King William, your undoubted king. Wherefore, all you who are come this day to do your homage and service. Is your majesty willing to take the oath?
I am willing.
Will you solemnly promise and swear to govern the peoples of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and of your possessions and other territories to any of them belonging or pertaining according to their respective laws and customs?
I solemnly promise so to do.
Will you, to your power, cause law and justice in mercy to be executed in all your judgments?
I will.
Will you, to the utmost of your power, maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel? Will you maintain and preserve inviolably the settlement of the Church of England and the doctrine, worship, discipline and government thereof, as by law established in England?
All this I promise to do.
I take the crown.
Charles, sit down.
Give it to me. It's much heavier than I thought. And from the side, bejeweled, looks so rich. But turn it thus, and this is what you see. Nothing. Now, I crown my son. My son. God save you.
Save the king!
God save the king!
In King Charles III by Mike Bartlett. Charles was played by Tim Pigott-Smith, Camilla by Margot Lester, William by Oliver Criss, Kate by Lydia Wilson, and Harry by Richard Goulding. Mr. Evans was Adam James, Mr. Stevens, Nicholas Rowe, James Rees, Miles Richardson, and Jess Taflin-Steen. Diana and the TV producer were played by Katie Braben, Sir Gordon, the Kebab Man and the Archbishop by Patterson Joseph, and Clive, Sir Michael and the Speaker by Tom Robertson. The music was performed by Jocelyn Pook, Belinda Sykes, Anna Helena McLean, Melanie Pappenheim, Voya Zivkovic and Richard Goulding. King Charles III was first produced by the Almeida Theatre and subsequently co-produced at the Wyndham's Theatre in the West End of London by Sonia Friedman Productions and Stuart Thompson Productions in association with Lee Dean and Charles Diamond and Tulchin Bartner Productions. It was directed by Rupert Gould, with original music composed by Jocelyn Pook, and has been produced for radio by Toby Swift.
A French Charles, now here on BBC Radio 3, the music of Charles Koechlin. And the one passion that spanned most of his long composing career was the Jungle Book stories of Rudyard Kipling. This is the earliest work in Koechlin's Jungle Book cycle, the three poems, Opus 18. In effect, they're vocal and orchestral nocturnes written in the 1890s, so around the same time as Debussy's much better known three nocturnes. The second here is a night song in the jungle, and in the third, the song of Kala Nag. The tame elephant of the title yearns to return to the wild. David Zinman conducts the Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra, and this first of Koechlin's nocturnes is the Seal Lullaby.
Thank you.
S'il vaut tout contre par la nuit, que manque le vampire des Dorme les troupeaux dans les tables clos.
Dorme les troupeaux dans les tables
clos. La terre est à nous, l'aube et la nuit.
Seigneur du soir,
orgueil et pouvoir à la serre, le grand et Je me souviens de ma forêt et de ma vigueur. Je brisais
Thank you.
The three poems by Keklin, with mezzo Iris Vermilion, tenor Johann Bothe, baritone Ralph Lucas, and the Rias Chamber Choir and Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by David Zinman. It's 12:30.
Hello and welcome to Through the Night on BBC Radio 3. I'm Katrina Young and I'm planning to